like I can't do it justice, but I've been picked to do it, so I'll do my best. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word and the ministry of His Word. I would like to say before I start, next week, this coming week, we're going away, my wife and I. We're going to North Carolina. I'd appreciate your prayers. We're going to be visiting with quite a bit of her family. They're not believers. I pray that you'll help me to be a witness for the Lord, that He would give me the opportunity to share the gospel with them, that the Lord may be glorified. So, Acts chapter 13. Hechos, capítulo 13. I want to try and sing a song. I used to sing it. Years ago, and it sounded pretty good then, because my voice was not as old as it is today. But I'm going to try and sing it again. We all need Jesus in our lives. Some of us are getting older. Our bodies are breaking down, letting us know. Some of us are growing. Amy's 15 years old. Praise the Lord. Let's try and see how it comes out. The title of the song is I Give You Jesus. If the ship of your life is tossing on the sea of strife, you need someone. If you feel so all alone and your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights when things just won't turn out right, and you want someone to care and someone to just be there, you need someone. I give you Jesus. He's the peace that passeth all understanding. I give you Jesus. He's the perfect love that casteth out all fear. I give you Jesus. He's the water that you drink and never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus. If the pressures all around keep your spirits to the ground, you need someone. If your body is in pain and your health you can't regain, you need someone. If it seems that you have tried with all the strength you had inside and it seems that you have failed, remember on the cross he nailed all the bitterness and grief to give you peace and sweet release. He is that someone that you need. So I give you Jesus. He's the peace that passeth all understanding. I give you Jesus. He's the perfect love that casteth out all fear. I give you Jesus. He's the water that you drink and never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus. He's everything, everything you need. I give you Jesus. Oh, my friend, I give you Jesus. I give you Jesus. He's all you need. Amen.
Let's pray a moment. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, Lord, for your patience with us, knowing, Father, that we're flesh and blood. Thank you for your spirit that lives within us, Lord, and helps us to live the kind of life that you want us to live. But Father, we do ask for forgiveness for the times that we fail. Would you tell us, Lord, that all we need is Jesus. Thank you, Father. That when our life is tossed, we can always turn to Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word. And I just pray that as I speak, Lord, it might be your Holy Spirit using my voice to minister to our hearts, Lord. And as we hear your word, Lord, may it make us more like your Son, the Lord Jesus, so that you might be glorified, Father, so that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Acts, once again, the beginning of Acts starts out just before chapter 1, it says the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts talks about what the apostles did. I like to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. For it was the Holy Spirit that was guiding the men of God. So we're up to chapter 13. So we'll start from verse 1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, or I think it's Nigger, even though I hesitate on using that word, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. I find it interesting that Herod is mentioned here with these teachers. Well, not that he was a teacher, but that he was brought up with them and that he was brought up with Saul. And I find it interesting how God can take people that grow up together and use one to serve him, and yet another one is against him. For Herod, we know that Herod the Tetrarch was against the Christian church. Herod the Tetrarch, there are four, actually five, the father and four brothers. There was Herod the Great, who was the father, and he had the successor, Archelaus. And he had three brothers, Aristobulus, Herod Philip, which was Herodias' husband. Remember that John the Baptist was put in prison by Herod because of Herodias. It was Herod Antipas who took his brother's wife, Herodias. Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Again, why I call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, it says, separate to me. It was the Holy Spirit who asked the disciples to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that he had called them. Verse 3 says, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. This was a practice that the apostles had of laying on their hands, the laying on of the hands, which even Paul continued to use it. Verse 4 says, verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, once again, we see that it's the Holy Spirit. They went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived in Salamis, They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their assistant. This John is John Mark. Who later on abandoned them. Verse 6 says, and when they had gone through the island to Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. Sergius Paulus was proconsul, is like the governor of the area. An intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, foresaw the so is his name when it translated. He withstood Paul and Barnabas, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Verse 9 says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately, a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. So here the sorcerer withstood Paul and Barnabas. And they try to get the governor not to listen to Paul and Barnabas. But Paul rebuked him and caused him to go blind for a time. And verse 12 says, then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. It's amazing also here how this proconsul believed when he saw this man go blind, when he heard what Paul and Barnabas were saying. I find it interesting that he believed the teaching of the Lord, and yet there were others there who didn't believe. Verse 13 says, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. This is where I mentioned that John Mark left Paul and Barnabas. And we know that later on, if you've read it, Barnabas wants to bring John with him on a ministry trip. And Paul, they get into an argument and says, Paul didn't want to bring John. So they ended up splitting up, which I find interesting, how the Holy Spirit allowed them to get into an argument to the point of where they separate. That's how serious the argument was. Verse 14 says, and when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the ruler of the synagogue sent to them, he sent to Barnabas and Saul, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." I was wondering when it says, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the law was the first five books of the Old Testament. I thought to myself, did they read the whole five books and the prophets? I mean, it must have taken a little bit of time for the people to hear this. But anyway, that's what it says. So we have to accept that they read all the first five books and the prophets. And then they asked Barnabas and Saul if they have anything to say, which was a custom of the synagogue. Verse 16, this is where I could just see Paul getting excited about this. It says, Paul stood up and motioning with his hands, he said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen, men of Israel and you who fear God." I assume that there were Gentiles there who had come to believe and had accepted the teachings of the Jews. So he said, "Men of Israel," referring to the Jews, "and you who fear God, listen." Verse 17, "The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness." Talking about God putting up with the Jews and their complaining for 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 19 says, "And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed to their land, to the land, to them by allotment." I found that interesting also, that God separated the land. He distributed the land by lots. There's a, it reminded me of a teaching that I had a good friend that was a believer or is a believer. And the church he went to, I don't know how they got it, but the apostles, when Judas hung himself, they needed another apostle. They needed another witness. And that's in Acts 1. Acts 1:22. Starting at verse 21, it says, 1:21, says, "Therefore these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. They were referring to two men. Verse 22, beginning with the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. So the disciples, the apostles, the 11 apostles, chose two men, Justice and Matthias, and they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know their hearts, all, show us which of these two you have chosen." So here you have the apostles praying, asking the Lord to let them know who he wants to take the place of Judas, so that there might still be 12 apostles. Verse 25 says, to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And they cast their lots, and the lots fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This brother used to say that Matthias wasn't the 12th apostle. They had to teach, even in their church, they used to teach that the 12th apostle was Paul. And I said, well, how can you say that? He said, well, Matthias, first of all, they cast lots. That's how they chose Matthias. And casting lots is gambling. Well, we remember how the Roman soldiers cast lots for Jesus' clothing. They said it was casting lots, that it was gambling, that that couldn't have been right, that the Apostle Paul was the 12th apostle. And I said, but how can you say that? Because the 11 apostles, I mean, they chose two men, and they prayed to God to let them know which one he wanted. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. I mean, do you think that if God didn't want Matthias, that this would have taken place, that this would be in Scripture, that God, the lots fell on Matthias to be the 12th apostle? Would God have allowed this to be written? But I couldn't get him to change his mind. He also said, you don't hear anything about Matthias in the Acts of the Apostles or in the letters to the churches. They use that as proof that Matthias wasn't chosen by God. I said, well, that's not proof, because you don't hear anything else about some of the other apostles. You don't hear anything in the Gospels, in the Acts, about some of the other apostles. So that wasn't proof either. So verse 20, it continues to say, and after that, he gave them judges This is after he destroyed the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. After he destroyed the seven nations and allotted the land, he gave the land to the nation of Israel. It says, after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Saul reigned for 40 years. He wasn't such a good king. This was the same Saul that went after David, that hunted David to kill him. But it does say, so God gave them Saul. It was God that chose Saul to be the king. And I find it strange that the nation of Israel asked for a king. They weren't satisfied with God being their king, God being their leader, God taking them through the desert. For 40 years, he fed them. He gave them water to drink. He took care of them. And he took care of the nation of the seven nations, the nations that were fighting. If you remember, when Joshua was one of the 12 men that they sent as spies to check out the land, Moses sent them. And the men came back saying, we're like grasshoppers to them. It was only two of them that said, we could do it with God's help. We can do it. And that's what happened. God took care of the seven nations. And then he allotted the land to them. And even after God did all this, taking them out of Egypt, taking them through the desert, they still asked for a king. Verse 21 says again, and afterward, they asked for a king. How would you feel if you took care of a group of people? For so many years, you took care of them, you fed them. You provided them food and clothing. You fought for them. How would you feel if they got to a point and said, we want another leader? What they were saying was, we don't want you anymore. They weren't satisfied with God. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a tribe of Benjamin. Verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. This verse reminded me of the grace of God, because we know that David committed some serious sins. We know that he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And then he killed her husband. And yet God says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who who will do all my will, a man after my own heart. This was David, the man that God chose. And yet he committed adultery and murder. And God says, he's a man after my own heart. It made me think of my life. My unfaithfulness to the Lord. And I have to thank God for his grace that he could see my heart and know that in my heart I want to serve him. Verse 23 says, and from this man's seed, from David's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. Time's gone. And I've only gotten through half. Verse 22 again. And when he had removed Saul, he raised up David as king, to whom also he gave testimony. This is God giving testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. I remember when I got saved, how I cried out to the Lord and said, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And I meant it. Just like I'm sure when you first got saved. How you told the Lord different words. But I'm sure you said the same things. You meant the same thing. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do. A man after my own heart who will do all my will. That's how the Lord Jesus makes you feel when you accept him as your Savior. Or at least that's how I hope you feel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words that were read today, Lord. I pray that something that was read or said, Lord, has touched the heart of someone here. That it might encourage them, Lord, that it might strengthen them. Thank you, Father, that we read that you gave them David. You chose David, Lord. You gave the testimony that he was a man after your own heart, knowing, Father, what he would do, the sins he would commit. You still chose him, Lord. You still gave testimony that he was a man after your own heart. Oh, he truly was, Lord. Oh, we still have the sin within us, Lord. As the Apostle Paul said, What I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate doing, that's what I do. What I don't want to do, that's what I do. Thank you, Father, for the great gift of salvation, Lord. Thank you, Father, that it is not a temporary thing, but that your word teaches that once we're saved, we are always saved, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for that. Father, thank you, Lord, once again for your word. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to remember the Lord Jesus this morning. We thank you for the meal that we had, Lord, the break. We thank you for Amy, Lord. Thank you for the 15 years that you have given her. We pray that you'll touch her, Lord, and drive her to yourself, Lord. Cause her to come closer to you, that she might, as she gains in years, Lord, that she might also gain in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she might be your servant, Father. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share your word, Lord, and we pray, Father, now as we separate and go out to our homes, Lord, that you might take us to each one of our dwelling places, Lord, with your peace, your timing, your safety. And we pray, Father, that we might not forget about the Lord Jesus during the week, Lord. But that we might go to sleep with you on our minds, and we might wake up with you on our minds, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.